Good evening, everyone. Thank you once again for inviting me to share in your fellowship time this evening. And I want to speak this evening on a passage from the New Testament. If you have a Bible, if you turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from verses 19 through to the end of the chapter at verse 34. Very famous verses. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, and reading through to the end of the chapter at verse 34. This is what Matthew writes. These are the words of Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the first and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Wow. There's some strong words in there. There's some strong words for us who live at this time. For these verses are part of Jesus' teaching. Teaching for us, for our life, and teaching on how we are to live it. He explains to us the importance of living for God day by day. And once again, Jesus tells us that we should be looking to do the Father's will, and we should have enough faith in his love and abundance for us to last an eternity. That is what Jesus is saying in these verses. And he gives us a very stark warning, doesn't he, in the first few verses, verses 19 to 21. He tells us the things of this world are temporary. Nothing lasts. Whatever we have, we store it up for ourselves where it can be destroyed, where it can be stolen. And let's just remind ourselves what the Bible tells us about ourselves, of how we are born and how we die. For Job in chapter 1 verse 21 said this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. And St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." The Lord gives us what we need. What Jesus is telling us. Everything that we try and cram into our lives, cars, TVs, houses, holidays, money, clothes. This is going to devastate women later on. Clothes don't matter. Can you imagine going to Primark and All Next and all that and saying clothes don't matter? We get all this stuff. We want all of these things. And Jesus says to us, do you know what? What you store in heaven, that's what matters. Not what you store here on earth. That's what counts. It's what you're going to store for yourself in heaven. And I want to ask for us to ask ourselves some questions this evening. And first of them is, what are we storing up for ourselves in heaven at the moment? What is it that we are doing that we will be rewarded for come the day of judgment? And tonight is just as much for me as it is you lovely people. Where is our treasure and where is our heart tonight? Is our treasure in the Lord and our heart in our Heavenly Father? Or is our treasure what we have on this earth? And is our heart full of that instead of what it should be? Jesus tells us very clearly that we have a responsibility. We need to have our eyes clear and fixed on God. But he says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. We need to be fixed on Christ. But only then can we live the life that the Lord has designed for us. But are our eyes clean today? Are we fixed only on serving our Heavenly Father? Can we honestly say that we are giving out light? That we are letting light in, giving out light to this world every day? Or, at this moment in time, are we a bit more like David when he wrote in Psalm 6, verse 7, "My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes." Are we letting the world around to us dictate our view and making us produce nothing but darkness? Where are we tonight? Are we letting the light of Christ into our hearts through meeting together this evening, singing amazing worship songs, reading his word, praying to our Heavenly Father, approaching his throne day by day? But how can we provide light to other people in this world if we have no light in ourselves? Jesus is telling us very plainly that what we do in terms of our relationship with our Heavenly Father matters. It matters not just for us, but it matters so much for those the Lord will put us in contact with. For we are the ambassadors of Christ in this place tonight. We have been given the joy of being saved. We have within that an opportunity to respond to God's love by giving God's love to other people. But if we're walking around in darkness, if we don't have the light in ourselves, if we are not centered on Christ, how can we give light to other people? And Jesus says we cannot serve two masters. Either we will hate the one and love the other, or therefore you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus doesn't say here that money is evil. He just says you cannot serve it and serve God. The pursuit of money, that's a different matter. So, what we decide to serve on earth of these two masters will dictate our eternity. It will dictate whether we have an eternity with God, where all the great things we have stored up in heaven for us, we will receive. Or do we follow the world and the pursuit of money and the pursuit of everything that the world tells us we need? It's an amazing thing to think that Jesus was saying this 2,000 years ago and nothing has changed. Nothing that mankind has done in 2,000 years has moved us on from these very, very stark warnings that Jesus gave us. We have had 2,000 years to read these words, to think, to pray, and to act on them. And still, we are no further forward as a world. For those that are serving God in this world, still battling to save those who would rather follow what the world wants to give them. There are still people out there who are rejecting the name of Jesus. So what are we serving tonight? Who are we serving? In our hearts of hearts, if we're honest with ourselves, are we serving our Lord God tonight? Or are there too many times where we find ourselves chasing after what the world wants us to go after? Because it's an amazing thing. Mankind has become so conceited and proud that it thinks that it's invented everything that man needs so far. It even says that in some parts of science, how can there be a God? But I have to say tonight, brothers and sisters, the Bible kind of tells us a different story, doesn't it? Because if you read Psalm 24, verse 1, this is what the psalmist writes. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It doesn't say man gave it to God, or that man was somehow involved in making it and giving it to God. It simply says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And because we're a bit thick, as humans, sometimes the Lord has to spell it out to us. And in Psalm 50, verses 9 and 10, these are the words that he gave the psalmist. The Lord is telling us, I do not need a bull from your store or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. We can give nothing to the Lord except our love and our sincere thanks for salvation. But there is nothing he needs from us. Because we have to remember that the whole world belongs to God. And in that case, if everything in the world belongs to God, we have to remember that everything that we have comes from him. It's not ours. These are gifts that the Lord has given us. Everything we have has come from the Lord. But that then begs a question. How did we get what we have? As Christians, as followers of Christ, did we trust and have faith and wait for God to give us the good things in our lives? And do we use those things to serve God and to serve others? Or did we go and get it because we wanted it? And we keep it to ourselves, and we don't use it to serve others. God is our Master. God is our Heavenly Father. God is our Creator. Everything we have comes from Him. And as we'll see a little bit later on, everything we need He will give us. But sometimes in this world, we don't always think of what we need. We think more in terms of what we want. And 9 times out of 10, those two things do not go together. If you've got a 42-inch TV, unless you've got a room that's 60 feet wide or long, why would you need a 60-inch TV? Unless your eyesight is that bad. If you've got 2 cars on the drive, and one of them might be 4 years old and one might be 5, but they're perfect and they work and they do what you want, why would you want one that's 1 year old and another one that's 2 years? Do you need it? No. You could have 2 pairs of shoes. This is for the gentleman, okay? You could have 2 pairs of shoes in your cupboard. Do you need a third? Probably not. Ladies, I'm not going to ask you that question. Living with a wife and a daughter, there's just no point going there. But do we ask ourselves often enough, do we really need this? Is this what God wants us to have? Or are we just too quick to jump on the Argus bandwagon and think, well, that looks good, I'm going to have one of those. And that money I've been saving to give something or for some good cause, I'll use that and I'll save again. So are we then using what God gives us to serve others? No. We're giving commission to car salesmen, and we're putting people who work in Argos having to carry big boxes of bad bag. That's what we're doing whenever we decide that what we want is more important than what we need. So in these first opening verses, Christ is very clear to us that there is nothing that we have that's of any use if it hasn't come from the Lord. If we can't use it to serve Him or to help others, has it really come from Him? Have we trusted in our faith and prayed and waited for something to come to us through His word or through His actions, and then accepted it and thought, yeah, that's good, I can use that? So we have to be careful where our heart is and what we're storing up for ourselves, Jesus tells us. But then He doesn't end there. And I know that Christ was walking the earth in Israel 2,000 years ago. But these passages, and don't take this the wrong way, could have been written for the British. Okay? Do not worry. Because us British, we do 2 things brilliantly. We worry and we queue well. That's, we're great. And if we can combine the two, so we can stand in a queue and worry, we are happy. But in these verses, we are going to be told very, very sharply, with some very sharp reminders, that it's not going to do us any good. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. So if we're honest with ourselves tonight, when we think of where we are in our lives and what we're doing, where are we on the scale of worry tonight? And I'm not going to ask you, it's just a question for you to think about. If 0 is not worrying and leaving everything to God, and on a scale up to 10 is worrying about everything and forgetting God exists and trying to do it on our own, where are we on that scale of 1 to 10 tonight? When things happen to us, and we come up against situations that we weren't expecting, or we think, what is going on? How on earth do I deal with this? Does how we respond to these issues show where our faith is? Is our first thought always, God will find a way? Or is our first thought always, what on earth am I going to do now? And giving it to the Lord comes last. What are our thoughts and our actions saying about our faith tonight when it comes to the situations that God puts us in? Because whatever is happening in our lives, the Lord will always turn it around for our good. He says that. I think Paul wrote that. He will always turn it round for our good. Whether he has put us in that situation, or whether we have ignored what he wants us to do and we've gone and done something anyway and put ourselves in a situation by thinking, that's what God would want. I'm not going to wait for him to answer my prayer. I'm going to do it anyway. And we end up making a pig's ear of it. And we end up going through all manner of tests and trials. But ultimately, we always come back to the same place. We come back and realize just how mighty our God is. We sang that this evening. Just how deep his love is for us. Just where our faith should be in him. Because we're in a world that's struggling at the moment. We're in a world that is struggling with itself. We're in a world that is struggling with greed. The Lord has made this earth produce more food than every man could ever eat. Yet we have people starving. Where people have run off after money, we have countries that are bankrupt, except for an ill-deserving few. This world is struggling. This world is broken. We were once broken. And the answer to our brokenness was Jesus. The answer to the world's brokenness is exactly the same. But how can the world see that Christ is the answer if they don't see us living out that Christ is the answer to our problems? How can we demonstrate to this world that needs fixing so badly that our faith in Christ is so strong that can help the others who are struggling find the peace of Christ also? But make no mistake, Jesus is not saying in these passages that they were, that the people in our Western society, where we say that there is poverty, yes, there is, and there are people who need help. But we who live in this country, the majority of us will be in a position where we're able to help ourselves. Christ isn't saying that if you become a Christian, all of your problems are solved overnight. No, they're not. We're still imperfect. We still get it wrong. We will not be perfect until he comes or we're called to glory. But there is a needing world out there that only sees Christ through the actions of what we do as a people of Christ. A, together, and B, on our own. Jesus tells us not to be worried about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear, because life is more important than food. And that's where our faith should be. We should believe that with all our heart and our soul. But in Deuteronomy 15 verse 11, God tells us this: there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and towards the poor and needy in your land. As I say, what we have, what we've been given, are we using it to help our brothers and sisters in need in this land? Are we doing enough as God's people? Do we show that when things come against us, our first thought is, give it to the Lord and see what he does, and then show people what is possible in the love of Christ? Or is that always an afterthought when we've tried to do it in our own strength? Do not worry. Has anyone here seen the film The Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks? It's about an American lawyer who defends a Russian spy. And they're about to transfer spies in Berlin and give him back to Russia, and they're about to take American spies back. And there are two lines in that film. It's about 2.5 hours. But these words have struck with me. Tom Hanks, the lawyer, is speaking to his client and says about going back to Russia, are you worried? And this gentleman says to him, will it help? When anything happens to us by worrying, has it ever solved anything? Have we ever woke up in the morning after 2 hours sleep and thought, oh, I'm glad I worried now because I know the answer? No, we wake up, excuse my French, thinking I'm more knackered now than when I went to bed. And I still haven't got a clue what to do. Are you worried? Well, will it help? Worrying doesn't help. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help the world. Faith is what helps. Our faith, and our faith being shown to the people who live around us. That is what helps. Because, brothers and sisters, if Jesus stood amongst us today, if he came here now, would he say to us, O ye of little faith, as he says in these verses here, in verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? As I said, if we've got a scale of worry of 1 to 10, if we had a scale of faith from 1 to 10, let's ask ourselves tonight, where are we on that scale? Because Jesus says to everyone in this world, including you and I, if we go after the things of this world, if all our worries are, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? Christ tells us very clearly in verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It just goes to come back to that point we said earlier. God knows what we need, but we think we know what we want. And there's always a problem. So are we saying that we know better than God when we run after what we want? Are we running the risk of every time Jesus looks us in the eye of saying, O ye of little faith? Because we have not relied on our Heavenly Father. Because it's amazing how Jesus brings this passage to an end. By after telling us a few home truths in these verses, we're very lucky. And in the last two verses, especially verse 33, Jesus says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. these things aren't the most important in our life. Fixing our sight on heaven and doing the work that the Lord has given us to do for the kingdom, those are the most important things that matter. If we do that, we will want for absolutely nothing. Which in turn means, because we know what Psalm 23 says, my cup overflows. And if our cup overflows, it means we have enough to give to other people. So not only are we provided for, but the Lord gives us enough to provide for others. And all we have to do is put our sight on heaven and what He wants to do for us. Because in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, the Lord says these words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Very clearly laid out in the Bible. God wants us to live day by day and to let Him lead us. Because we can make plans for tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years. And we all do it. Oh, 10 years retirement. What a marvelous thought. I might not get to retirement. The Lord could say tomorrow, right, that's it. The times on earth is done. Up you come. All those plans, gone. In an instant. We have absolutely no certainty of anything in this world, except God loves us, Jesus died for us and rose and conquered our sin and our death, and that we will be with Him in eternity. Now, out of those three things, not once does it mention retirement, holidays, cars, food, drink, clothes, houses, holiday homes, if you can afford them. Doesn't mention anything about that. What He tells us to do is set our sights on heaven and to live day by day, letting the Lord lead us. Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed to have a God who loves us so much. And in Proverbs 16, verse 3, the writer tells us, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." You think back to what I said earlier on. Sometimes we put ourselves in difficult places, which the Lord will turn for good. But if we give to the Lord everything that we want to do, He will make it a success, as long as we do it in Him and let Him lead us. For Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works," and this is the crunch, "which God prepared in advance for us to do." Who's in control? We are certainly not. But we have no certainty that we'll even be here next week to share in worship and praise. So as we bring God's word to a close this evening, just ask ourselves one question. Tonight, brothers and sisters, and I'm asking myself this question, are our lives dominated by the future plans that we have and the things that we think that we need? Or are they guided by our faith and by living in the here and the now and living simply for Christ? Is that where we are this evening? Or is that where we need to be getting back to? We are all brothers and sisters. We are all children of God, it says in John's Gospel. But that comes with a responsibility to forsake what this world wants us to chase, and to simply be ready and faithful to do what the Lord wants us to do. So, ladies, those 67 pairs of shoes you have in the cupboard, when the catalogue comes out and there's a new pair, there's a challenge. Do you need them? Or if you buy a dress, have you got a pair at the back you haven't worn for 30 years that might do the job in you? Gentlemen, we're okay. We can treat ourselves to a third pair, because we're not on that scale yet. But let's ask ourselves those life questions. Have I given this to the Lord? If the Lord has given it to me, how can I use it for other people? I don't want to serve money. If the Lord gives me money, I want to use it for His work. Whatever He gives me, let me be able to use it for others. So let's shine our light. And let's take ourselves from the top end of the worry scale to the bottom, and take ourselves from the bottom of the faith scale to the top. And let's simply trust in Him.